Today we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb. Texts 30 and 31. Only 30 has been written on the board, so we will chant that one responsively. But please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Guru,
Guru.
Sushushaya,
Sushushaya.
Bhaktya,
Bhaktya.
Sarva,
Sarva.
Labha,
Labha.
Arpanena,
Arpanena.
Cha,
Cha.
Sangena,
Sangena.
Sadhu,
Sadhu.
Bhaktanam,
Bhaktanam.
Ishwara,
Ishwara.
Radhanena,
Radhanena.
Cha,
Cha.
Shraddhaya, tat, katayam, cha, kirtanai, guna, karmanam, tat, padaam buruha, dhyanat, tat, linga, iksha, arhana, adibi. Guru Shushraya Bhaktya,
Guru Shushraya Bhaktya.
Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha, Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha. Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam,
Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam.
Ishwarardhanena
Cha, Ishwarardhanena
Cha. Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya,
Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya.
Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha, Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha. Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam,
Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam.
Ishwararadhanena
Cha, Ishwararadhanena
Cha. Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya,
Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya.
Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha, Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha. Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam,
Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam.
Ishwararadhanena
Cha, Ishwararadhanena
Cha.
Shushushaya Bhaktya, Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha,
Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam, Ishwararadhanena
Cha.
Shushushaya Bhaktya, Sarva Labdarpanena
Cha,
Sangena Sarva Bhaktanam,
Ishwararadhanena
Cha. Isharadhanena cha. Can someone turn this? Because it's facing away from. Yeah. But move it back a little so they can also see.
Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya
Sarvalabdarpanena cha Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishvara Radhanena cha. Vaishnavis, Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya Sarvalabdarpanena cha Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishvara Radhanena cha. Guru Shushushaya.
Guru Shushushaya.
By rendering service to the bona fide spiritual master.
By rendering service to the bona fide spiritual master.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
With faith and devotion.
With faith and devotion.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Labdha.
Labdha.
Of material gains.
Of material gains.
Arpanena.
Arpanena.
By offering.
By offering.
To the Guru.
To the Guru.
Or to Krishna through the spiritual master.
Or to Krishna through the spiritual master.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Sangena.
Sangena.
By the association.
By the association.
Sadhu Bhaktanam.
Sadhu Bhaktanam.
Of devotees and saintly persons.
Of devotees and saintly persons.
Ishwara.
Ishwara.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Aradhanena.
Aradhanena.
By the worship. Cha. And. Shadaya.
Shadaya.
With great faith.
With great faith.
Tat. Katayam.
Katayam.
In discourses.
In discourses.
About the Lord.
About the Lord.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Kirtanai.
Kirtanai.
By glorification.
By glorification.
Gunakarmanam.
Gunakarmanam.
Of the transcendental activities.
Of the transcendental activities.
And qualities of the Lord.
And qualities of the Lord.
Tat.
Tat.
His.
His.
Pada.
Pada.
Amburuha.
Amburuha.
On the lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Dhyanat.
Dhyanat.
By meditation.
By meditation.
Tat.
Tat.
His.
His.
Linga.
Linga.
Forms.
Forms.
Deities.
Deities.
Iksha.
Iksha.
Observing.
Observing.
Arhana.
Arhana.
Adibi.
Adibi.
And by worshipping.
And by worshipping.
Translation. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master. And in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord Hear the glories of the Lord with faith. Glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord. Always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Please repeat. Photographer, please pay attention. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master.
One must accept the bona fide spiritual master.
And render service unto him.
And render service unto him.
With great devotion and faith.
With great devotion and faith.
Whatever one has.
Whatever one has.
In one's possession. Should be offered to the spiritual master. And in the association of saintly persons.
And devotees.
One should worship the Lord.
Hear the glories of the Lord.
With faith.
Glorify the transcendental qualities
and activities of the Lord. Always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet
and worship the deity of the Lord.
Strictly according to the injunctions
of the Shastra and Guru.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because He is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the word Bhagavatoditaha. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. According to his directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is bhakti yoga. So I will read the previous verse because it is leading up to and important in relation to today's verse. Translation. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. So we are all entangled in material existence, and entanglement of material existence involves so many problems and difficulties. Janmam Ritu Jara Vyadi Dukha Dosha Anudarshanam. The Bhagavad Gita instructs us to always be aware of the faults of material existence, of the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. And those are just the primary miseries. There are other miseries that afflict us all the time. Unlimited. But one is anger. Another is sorrow. Another is anxiety. Another is fear. We are always subject to these miseries. But most people, ordinary people, try to distract themselves from the real problems of life, from the pain of material existence, and they do so in endless varieties of ways. Useless books and magazines, useless television programs and films, all varieties of sense gratification, meat eating, taking intoxicants, gambling, indulging in illicit sex. But they, although they try to distract themselves, ultimately the reality exists, which is that they are in an awkward position in material existence. They are spiritual beings. The soul, like the Supreme Soul, is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. It is by nature eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And in material conditioned existence, they are covered by the material body, and thus they experience temporary life, ignorance, and pain. So when we become a little sober, a little intelligent, we can face the reality of our existence as it is. And then we can make some solution. Otherwise, as long as we remain engaged in various activities to divert us and distract us and entertain us and amuse us,
We will remain in the same regrettable position. Recently I've been listening to discussions between Srila Prabhupada and newspaper and magazine reporters. And one of them was saying that people feel that we are negative about life. And Srila Prabhupada said that the reason is because they have a different perspective and we have a different perspective. They are living in the prison, and that is all they know. Now, if I come and tell people that prison life is not good, you should leave the prison. Your real life is outside the prison, in freedom. Is that negative? No, that's very positive. Get out of the prison and enjoy life in freedom. But because all they know is prison life, they think, oh, he's being negative. No, it's very positive. And similarly, the reporter said, people say that you are taking your disciples, so many young men and women who could be contributing to the world, you're taking them out of society and depriving the world of their contribution. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's the same problem, that they have a different perspective and we have a different perspective. They're in the prison breaking bricks, and they're looking at us and saying, why aren't these people breaking bricks too? They're not contributing. But our contribution is different. Our contribution is to tell the prisoners, this is not your real life, to break bricks. You don't have to break bricks. You can leave the prison and enjoy life and freedom. But they're thinking, oh, the Swamiji is taking so many young men and women and depriving the world of their contribution of breaking bricks. So, and then another reporter asked him, how do you deal with negativity? And Srila Prabhupada said, what do you mean by negativity? Well, people who are against you. And Srila Prabhupada replied, why are you asking me this question? Everyone has people who are for them and everyone has people who are against them. Don't you have people who are against you? He said, yes. So why are you asking me this question? That is for everyone. That is true of everyone. Then she said, well, and then he explained that the reason people are against us is because of ignorance. They identify with the body. and with material existence. And when they see that we're acting on a different platform, the platform of the soul and spiritual existence, they're against us because they see we're different. We're not participating with them or encouraging them in their material existence. So she said, well, how do you deal with it? And well, their problem is ignorance. So we deal with it by giving them knowledge. We approach them and give them books. And every day we are distributing, I don't remember the figure, but you know, hundreds or thousands of books, and people are paying, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars every day. So how you can say they are against us? They're taking our books. They're giving contributions. How you can say they're against us? They're not against us. They're for us. And then the lady said, well, that's a very positive attitude. So this is the predicament that people are in. They're in the material world, in the prison house of material existence, being forced to work, labor hard, and always in fear of receiving some harsh punishment. So a sober person, intelligent person, will inquire how to get out. And there are hundreds and thousands of approaches how to get out, which I need not mention. We all know. But of all of those hundreds and thousands of processes that promise to get us out of material entanglement, the process given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best. Because he's the supreme authority. He has created the material world. He knows what the material world is. And he has simultaneously given us the method by which we can get out of the material world. And that method is the process by which one develops love and affection for him, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is sadhana bhakti. In Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of sadhana bhakti in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that devotional service performed by the senses, which awakens dormant love for Krishna, is sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice. So that is the method, the best of all methods, enunciated by the Supreme Lord himself, to get us out of the material miseries. That is the method by which we develop love and affection for him. That is text 29. Now, what is that method? What are the activities, bodily, vocal, and mental? What are the activities that we can perform to awaken our dormant love for Krishna Those activities are mentioned in texts 30 and 31. So we shall continue reading the purport. What is the method? Sadhana Bhakti. To practice Bhakti Yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1, 2, 74, and 75, advises, Guru Padashrayastasmad Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam Vishrambena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartmani Vartanam Sadharma Prichabhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. One's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma. The words Guru Shushushaya means that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushushanam. The disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Pranayar Arthayar Diya Vacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words. And all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty. But the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. So the preliminary processes of devotional service mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami run parallel to the instructions here in Srimad Bhagavatam. First, Guru Padashrayas Tasmat. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. One should take initiation from him, and one should learn from him. One should take instruction from him. And then Vishrambena Guru Seva, and one should serve him. Vishrambena, with great respect. There are two words: great respect and intimacy. But especially here, Vishrambena means with great faith and respect. The same instructions are there in the Bhagavad Gita, given by Krishna himself Tadvidi pranipatena. Pranipat means to fall down before the spiritual master, which really means to surrender to the spiritual master. Pariprashnena, to inquire of him, the same thing. Sadharma pritcha, inquire about eternal religious principles. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevayam, render service. That is also mentioned here. Vishrambhena guru seva. These are the first items of devotional service. All other items are built upon these. These are the foundation. And unless the foundation is strong, the rest of the structure will be in a precarious position. The first, the foundation must be strong. When I first met Srila Prabhupada and came to the Association of Devotees, I was aware of so many practices. We were given the whole morning program, the evening program, and the day's activities. And there were so many different activities. As you know, we have Mangal Arati, we have singing the Nrisimha prayers, we have Tulsi Puja, we have Japa, we have Mangal Arati, Sandhya Arati, Shringar Darshan, Guru Puja, and then so many activities during the day. And we accepted the process and we followed it. But about 2 years after I met Srila Prabhupada and came to the Association of Devotees, I had a very, very significant conversation with Tamal Krishna Goswami, in which he gave me a different perspective. The background is that in October of 1970, I and a number of devotees from the United States was asked to go to India to meet Srila Prabhupada there and begin the activities there. And there in Bombay, I met Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he was the GBC for India. And in Bombay, we put on the first Pandal program, which was very successful. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased. And he sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to arrange a similar program there. And so the two of us rode together on the train, and we had a lot of time to talk. It was really, we were all so busy. Srila Prabhupada had such big plans, and he kept us fully engaged. So we hardly had time to talk, what to speak of, eat or sleep. But on the train, we had some time and we began to develop our relationship. And then one night in the Calcutta temple, it's still there, 3 Albert Road, somehow everyone else had taken rest. Everyone would take rest at 9 o'clock. And somehow I was out on the balcony, just sort of looking over the balcony at the pond, the Pakur, and thinking. And Tamal Krishna Goswami came up to me, and he also just stood next to me, leaning over the balcony, looking out into the night. And we started talking. I won't share all the details of the discussion now, but I might sometime. I received a letter 2 days ago about the Pandava Sena Youth Festival or retreat that will be held in Houston from August 4th to 9th. And then as an addition to the festival, devotees will be coming from Houston to Dallas for 2 days, August 10th and 11th. And the theme of those 2 days will be remembering Tamal Krishna Goswami. But now, to come back to the main point, or that I want to mention from the discussion he and I had in Calcutta. He said that he had discovered that the essence of spiritual life, the key to spiritual advancement, is service to the Guru. So I thought about it. I mean, his words made a deep impression on me. And you have to understand that at that time we did not have many books. And even the first edition of the Bhagavad Gita as it is was abridged. We didn't have all the purports, and many of the purports that we did have were incomplete. But now if we read carefully, we find in different places what Tamal Krishna Goswami told me that night is mentioned. And Srila Prabhupada himself says in the purport to the verse Tadvidi Pranipatena that the secret of spiritual advancement is to please the bona fide spiritual master. And every morning we sing Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, that by the mercy of the spiritual master one receives the benediction of Krishna. And yasya prasadat nagati kutopi, that if one does not please the spiritual master, or without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement, or one has no means of making progress, or as Srila Prabhupada said, one has no standing, one has no actual standing. But at that time, it was It was a secret. It seemed to have been a secret that was revealed to me by Tamal Krishna Goswami. And thereafter, I saw devotional service in a little different way, from a little different perspective. Everything then became seen in relation to Srila Prabhupada, to pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, there's so many do's and don'ts. How do you know what's more important? Suppose you can't do everything. How do you know what's more important? How do you decide? Of course, we had our authorities, and when I joined, I just did whatever my authorities told. I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't even have to ask the question, what was more important. But as time passed and I had more responsibility, sometimes I had to make a decision. What is more important? What is less important? And then the criterion was, what would Srila Prabhupada want? What would please Srila Prabhupada? And then all the different activities included in devotional service were seen from that point of view. What would Srila Prabhupada want? What would please him? And of course, different things, different approaches, you could say different approaches are relevant at different stages of one's spiritual progress. Once Tamal Krishna Goswami and I were with Srila Prabhupada in Juhu. We were still struggling to get the Juhu land. So Srila Prabhupada was living in the unfinished house of one of his staunch supporters, Sri P. L. Sethi, and a few devotees, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Brahmananda Prabhu, a few devotees stayed with Srila Prabhupada in the house. I was the temple president in Juhu, so I would stay in Juhu, but I would spend a lot of time at the house. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very concerned about the Juhu land. He had already brought the deities of Radharasa Bihari, and he was very, very concerned that the struggle with the landlord should be resolved. And we had a friend, a life member, who was a lawyer, Sushil Asnani. And he was helping us deal with the matter. So one morning, at maybe 6 a.m, Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami to phone Mr. Asnani and find out what had happened. And we had no phone. So Tamal Krishna Goswami had to go out at 6 a.m. It was just dawn, still dark, and knock on the doors of people's homes and ask to use the telephone. So he phoned, and then he came back and he gave the report to Srila Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Goswami was very annoyed. I don't know how many of you have seen Tamal Krishna Goswami when he was very annoyed, but one could say that he was smoldering with anger. He was smoldering with anger because on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, he had gone out early in the morning and phoned Mr. Asnani. Mrs. Asnani answered the phone and told him that my husband is doing his puja. Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, please tell him that Srila Prabhupada sent me to ask him a question, and Srila Prabhupada is waiting for the answer. So Mrs. Asnani went and came back to the phone and said that Mr. Asnani said that you can phone him in an hour after he is finished with his puja. So Tamal Krishna Goswami gave the report to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you know, here is the pure devotee, the representative of Krishna, wanting to get some information from him, and he's busy doing his puja. He can't come to the phone. And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually, for someone in Mr. Asnani's stage, it's good that he's very strict about his puja. Because he was more on the material platform. You could say more on the material platform. So for him to be strict in that way was actually good. Because when you're just beginning spiritual activities, it's so easy to find excuses not to do them. Oh, telephone call. Oh, great. Great, now I don't have to do my puja. Now I don't have to chant my rounds. Now I don't have to read my shlokas. Whew, that came. Oh, I'm so glad you phoned. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us, and he said explicitly that he wanted us to act on the Madhyam platform. To preach, in other words. To preach means Prima Maitri Kripupeksha. The Madhyam Vaishnav gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maitri. He makes friendship with devotees. Kripa, he gives mercy to the innocent by giving them the message of Krishna, and upeksha, he neglects the envious, he avoids them, he doesn't try to preach to them. Might give them some prasad or something, but he doesn't try to convince them philosophically. But definitely it was a very significant conversation that I had with Tamal Krishna Goswami, and that perspective became my guiding principle in devotional service. What will please the spiritual master? What would the spiritual master want me to do? And although Srila Prabhupada made that statement about Mr. Asnani, he gave me a different type of instruction. Because we were so busy, as I mentioned, it came to the point where I didn't have time to read Prabhupada's books. It just was no time. And I was in anxiety about it. I didn't say anything, but I was in anxiety about it. And one day in his room in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada said, he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Sevaya. There are two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. And Srila Prabhupada told me that by serving the person Bhagavat, one gets the same result as by reading the book Bhagavat. So he was encouraging me. I didn't say anything directly about my anxiety, but he was encouraging me that if you serve the person Bhagavat, all the truths of the book Bhagavat will be revealed to you, even if you never read the book. So we had that faith and conviction, and we had that realization from our practical experience. But that is not to say that we should not read the books or attend the classes. We should. That's only in extreme situations when we really do not have time. But otherwise we must. Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to translate and publish the books so we could read them. And once again, as a neophyte hearing so many things, this was actually a little earlier, because I had heard that if we just have the desire to become Krishna conscious, that will make us Krishna conscious. Actually true, tatra lolyam, that if one has that intense desire, lolyam, that intense desire to become Krishna conscious, that will propel one to become Krishna conscious. But anyway, you know, as a neophyte, having heard that statement, I asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, that I heard this. So does it mean that you know, if eagerness is the only price we have to pay to become Krishna conscious, then does it mean that we don't have to read your books? You'd see my devious mind trying to find some way to. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, if you are actually eager, you will accept anything that will help you in Krishna consciousness. So why would you not read the books? So, time, place, and circumstance. But as a rule, we want to do everything that Srila Prabhupada instructed, that our gurus have instructed, and primary are the ones mentioned in this verse, or these two verses. So, and then Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishwara Radhanena Cha, that in the association of devotees, worship the Lord. So association is very, very, very important. We cannot make it on our own. We cannot make it on our own. We need the association of devotees. There is one devotee in India. He had done a lot of service for Srila Prabhupada, Aviram Prabhu. But somehow, after so many years of intense service, now as a Grihastha, he had built a house for himself that would have meant he was living some distance from the temple. And Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about it. He said, with so much difficulty, someone becomes a devotee. And then if he moves away from the association, everything will be lost. And he gave his own example, and that of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said that Srila Bhaktivinoda, because sometimes people would cite Prabhupada's example as a Grihastha. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and I were different. We could live away from the association of devotees in the temple and be strong in Krishna consciousness. But you all, neophytes, if you live away from the association of devotees, away from the temple atmosphere, you'll be affected by the karmi's poison, as Prabhupada put it. In other words, we'll be affected. Man is a social animal. We need association. So if we don't have the association of devotees, what will we have? We'll have the association of non-devotees. And we'll be influenced by their association. And that will take us away from Krishna consciousness. That association can come in the workplace, very frequently come in the workplace, can come in the university or college. It can come in any activity in the material world. It also comes in books and magazines, comes on the internet. You can have that association anywhere. And now with the internet, you can do it secretly. No one will know what you're reading. No one will know what you're looking at. And so you can more easily engage in activities which are against the devotional principles. But in summary, it would be some form of associating with non-devotees. Whatever that nonsense on the internet is, it'll be some form of associating with non-devotees, or devotees, or weak devotees, mixed devotees. Mixed devotees, really, sadhu bhakta really means pure devotees. Pure devotees in the sense that they have no other desire than to become Krishna conscious. Doesn't mean they're fully self-realized, but it means that they have no other purpose than to serve Guru and Krishna and become Krishna conscious. So mixed devotees can be problematic because they're mixed. They want to talk about Krishna, but they also want to talk about other things. They want to serve Krishna, but they also want to do other things. Properly speaking, they're still on the material platform, and therefore they're called bhakta praya, which means almost devotees. They're not really devotees. But they're put in the category of devotees because it's prohibited to associate with non-devotees intimately. And if they don't get association, they'll never make progress. So in order to enable the more advanced devotees to associate with them without violating the principle of not associating with non-devotees, they're called devotees. They are devotees. They're devotees. Or bhakta praya, almost devotees. So we want to be careful to keep the Krishna conscious part as the focus and not the other parts. Sometimes devotees ask me, I'm sure many of you have been asked the same question or maybe even been asked the same question, that so and so, or you know, so devotees come to me, they trust me, they feel comfortable with me, they want to reveal their minds to me. And when they do, they talk about their problems. They talk about their problems with other devotees, maybe even the temple authorities. And they end up criticizing other devotees. And I do not want to hear that. But at the same time, I don't want to like offend the devotee who's coming to me, or hurt the devotee who's coming to me, you know, if the devotee's weak, that I might be the devotee's main link to Krishna consciousness, and if the devotee feels rejected by me, then the devotee will be very discouraged. So what we do, and this is something I heard from His Holiness Radhanath Swami, is you don't reject the person, you don't reject the person's association, but you limit the association to chanting and hearing about Krishna. And depending on who you are, who the other person is, what your relationship is, you could put it in any number of ways. The easiest way, and if it's true, you know, you probably really should say it, is that I still have rounds to chant. I have to chant my... I'd love to spend time with you. So can you... How about if you stay and we chant japa together? Or, you know, I have a certain quota of reading I do every day. I haven't done my reading yet. But I'd love to spend time with you. You can stay with me and we can read together. That way, you're not rejecting the person, you're welcoming the person, but you're keeping the activity favorable to Krishna consciousness. You're not letting it sort of degrade into other topics. Now, it may happen that someone really is disturbed and needs a sympathetic ear, and sometimes we do that. But, you know, as a general principle, we should keep our focus on Guru and Krishna and service to Guru and Krishna, and not allow our mixed tendencies to react, you know, like some chemicals, if you put them together, they don't react well. They might fizz or make a bad smell or cause an explosion or something. So this association of mixed devotees, we don't want it to react in a negative way. And so the safest is to just keep that desire that every devotee has to serve Krishna in the forefront, and use the association for that. I read in Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, wonderful book by Bhakti Vikas Swami, 3-volume set, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's at his home, many of you have been there in Gojumdweep, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home. He would not allow any thoughts other than of Krishna. Just wouldn't allow it. I mean, this is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means we have not awakened our dormant love for Krishna. These are the practices that will bring us to awaken our dormant love. But we haven't awakened our dormant love for Krishna. It's not natural to always think of Krishna and never forget him. So we have to make an effort. And so, you know, sometimes we think, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is like so powerful, and we might have a sort of romantic idea of what things were like in the past, that, oh, they just naturally talked about Krishna. But no. He was dealing, every acharya deals with conditioned souls and makes the effort to elevate them to the spiritual platform. And so they set limits. They draw the line. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, you can't talk about anything except Krishna. That was the rule of the house. If you didn't want to follow the rule, you couldn't be there. The great Acharya Srinivas Acharya, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami told us in relation to Vrajamandala Parikrama. So he had an ashram, and his rule for Ekadasi was, and that's a strict observance of Ekadasi, that you stay up the whole night chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So what he did in the ashram is he had a pole, across the room, and he would have the brahmacharis tie their sikas to the pole. So if during the night on Ekadasi they started to nod out, as we say, fall asleep, they would get yanked by the sika and woken up. So we shouldn't have any illusions. You know, every acharya deals with conditioned souls who begin on the neophyte platform and gradually tries to elevate them. So this thing about our talking, prajalpa, of course, Srila Prabhupada was very liberal. He was very liberal, but he certainly knew the science, and he, in his own way, instructed us. And of course, there's one talk Prabhupada gave. He said, "Don't talk nonsense. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't talk. Don't waste time. Don't talk nonsense." So one day, this is very interesting, I didn't see it, but Satsarupa Maharaj told me about it. One day, Satsarupa and Tamal Krishna Goswami were sitting next to each other in the little garden at the back of Juhu, talking. I think we had a bench there, so they might have been sitting on the bench talking. And Srila Prabhupada happened to come out onto the balcony of his apartment, which just overlooked the garden. He was chanting japa, and he saw the two of them sitting next to each other and talking. So Srila Prabhupada called from the balcony, "What are the two of you talking about?" So immediately they said, "Service. We're talking about service." And the way Satsarupa Maharaj described it, Prabhupada looked at them with a very penetrating gaze, like a little skeptical. "Yeah, all right. Service, sure." But, you know, Satsarupa got the distinct impression that Prabhupada was really questioning what they were talking about. He didn't want them to be just talking about anything. So we have to be vigilant like that. The acharyas, the authorities, should be vigilant. Of course, now, as Kali Yuga has progressed, there is so much influence of Kali, and you know, devotees' faith is eroded in so many ways for so many different reasons. It's not always that easy to give devotees direct instructions, even though the instructions are for their benefit, but they might react, you know, because false ego. So we might not say to devotees, "What are you talking about?" We might, but we might not. But actually, this type of care is very beneficial. We, you know, the association of devotees means not only do they help us engage in favorable activities like this, worshiping the Lord, but they also help us avoid unfavorable activities. By their example, always by their example, but also by their words. So we should welcome that positive influence. Sometimes, due to circumstances, a devotee may be living away from a temple, away from the association of a community of devotees. That's definitely a very difficult situation to be in. But sometimes the circumstances are such, or they seem to be such. So in that case, then, with one's family members, one should try to keep the association as spiritual as possible. But the thing is also, Prabhupada wanted us to preach, and we can't really be fully engaged unless we preach. We need to mobilize all our resources, and the way we mobilize all our resources is by preaching. So if by chance we are away from the temple, then we should try to make our home like a temple. It doesn't mean just pictures and deities and altar, but it means the activities in the home should be the same as the activities in the temple. And we should preach. We should invite people to our homes. We should go out. We should have programs. And really make start our own temple and make our own community of devotees. So actually there's one more section here I haven't read. And we'll just finish this. Yeah, so I got a little ahead of myself here. So after discussing offering everything to the Guru, with serving the Guru with heart and soul, not artificially for material prestige, Srila Prabhupada says, moreover, one should live among devotees. Saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Very important. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. This is a big thing because gurus are big people, they're famous people, and so we get prestige by being associated with them. Last September or so we had His Holiness Rutatvaja Swami's Vyas Puja here, and many of the Gurukulis, Gurukul graduates, spoke about their association with him. And one little anecdote was that he phoned one of the boys and he said, this is Rutatvaja Swami. Your prestige just went up. You got a phone call from Rutatvaja Swami. So that's there. One of my Shiksha Gurus is His Holiness Indridumya Swami. He's my Shiksha Guru on many levels, but he's also my Shiksha Vartma Pradarshika Guru and Shiksha Guru for Facebook. I never imagined that I would ever do such a thing as join Facebook. And Indridumya Swami said, Maharaj, times are changing. They aren't what they were. And if we're not in step with the times, we're going to be left behind. You have to do this. So anyway, I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll try it for a few months and see how it goes. So then I would ask him, like, well, what do you do about this? What do you do about that? And because then you get like all these little messages, like, you know, Hare Krishna Maharaj, and just, all sorts of little messages. And Indridumya, of course, I don't know if he really follows it completely, but he said he doesn't reply to those. He says for most people, it's just a matter of false prestige. They don't really have any strong spiritual desire, but they just want to send a little message and then get a reply. And then, I got a message from Indradumya Swami on Facebook. You know. He said Haribol to me. So that's there. That's there in the material world. It's and it can even be there in the association of devotees. That, it's very prestigious to be seen. I'm close to the guru. He's a big man, so much prestige, not just prestige, but authority, control, so much. But that is not real guru seva. That is not what's being mentioned here. Sushushaya. It should be done with heart and soul. It should be done really in the mood to serve the guru without any personal consideration of gain or loss, just to serve the guru and please him. That's the only reward we want. We just want to see that the guru is happy, that Krishna is happy. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. But there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhava sadachara. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, a Vaishnav, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. So this works both ways. Earlier, I mentioned the risks that we face dealing with mixed devotees or devotees who are really not up to the standard of sadachar. The other side of it is that people are looking to us for association. People are meeting us on the street, people are coming to the temple. They're seeing us as devotees. They don't know who's who. They just see we're all devotees. And so we should be real devotees. You know, after wandering in the material universes for so many lifetimes, someone by great fortune is walking in the door to the temple. And that person, more than anything else, needs the association of devotees. And we are meant to be the ones to give the association. But for our association to have the value that it should have, we have to follow the standard behavior, sadachar, what Srila Prabhupada mentioned earlier as Vaishnav etiquette and practices. Then we will be like touchstones. We have been touched by someone who has made us devotees or inspired us to become devotees or awakened a glimmer of our natural Krishna consciousness. So we should also be touchstones. And that is possible when we follow the standard behavior, proper behavior, sadachar. Therefore, a Vaishnav, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnav A person initiated into the Vaishnav cult should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnav, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. So, in one sense, every Vaishnav is a guru. Prabhupada writes that in a purport. Every Vaishnav is a guru. So what we're reading about here in relation to the guru can be extended to any guru, any Vaishnav, Shiksha guru. We should offer them service and prayers, appreciation, glorification, appeals for mercy. So, and therefore Srila Prabhupada introduced the practice that devotees should address each other as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. You are my master. That means I'm your servant. How can I serve you, Prabhu? So, in that way, we serve all the Prabhus. We try to please all the Prabhus. We want to get the mercy of all the Prabhus. We want to express our appreciation and gratitude and affection and praise for all the Prabhus. And then our association will be very congenial. Our hearts will be purified. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnav, a person initiated into the Vaishnav cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnav, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. So one may be initiated. That's also, you can see how Rupa Goswami so closely and carefully follows Srimad Bhagavatam, and how all the Vedic scriptures confirm each other. But in that verse in Upadeshamrita, how to deal with different types of devotees, one should offer obeisances to one who has taken initiation. And obeisances doesn't mean just external, it means that mood of submission and service. But one should not associate with someone who's not fit to be associated with. In other words, the person should really be following the standard of Vaishnava behavior, or at least making his best effort or her best effort to follow. We may not be up to the standard all the time. We won't be fully up to the standard all the time. But we should be making a constant endeavor, trying to come to the standard, trying to serve the devotees. Okay, I'm not up to the standard, but these devotees are. Let me serve them. If I serve them, I'll get some of their mercy. I'll get some of their qualities. Let me be the servant of the servants of the servant. And that will make us purified, that will naturally bring us to the standard that we want, and that will simultaneously make our relationships very congenial. We all want relationships, we need relationships. But that desire for relationship can be fulfilled properly on the spiritual platform. And if we make compromises, I mean, yeah, there can be a little give and take, but if we make compromises for the sake of being friends with a devotee, thinking that if we make some compromise and interact on the material platform with the devotee, it will fulfill some of that devotee's need for friendship or some of my own need for friendship. But ultimately, it will turn sour. It won't really work because the material platform is very flimsy. Relationships constructed on the material platform are very flimsy. They don't last. Like we said, we want the foundation to be strong. So we want the foundation to be strong not only in terms of our own personal spiritual lives, but we want the foundation in our relationships to be strong. And the foundation is the same. Service to Guru and Krishna, bhakti. And then we will have those types of relationships that our heart hankers to have. But the center is Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? All right. Oh. Yes, Narottamananda Prabhu.
There's a name that he gives it, but it was like a state fair.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that they were having wrestling and
theistic exhibitions.
Yeah, so I was just so amazed at that, that he incorporated like literally everything in society. Anyway, my question is coming in this way. You know, it seems that at our point in society and development, in the Krishna consciousness, this kind of movement, social structure within our society, there is limitations that we have to deal with. And I was wondering what your insight was on that. You know, especially like dealing with one another, dealing with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, this dynamic of giving association and taking association is very delicate. We have to give association to people who are on, say, a lower level of Krishna consciousness. Not that we think that like that, but they need our association to come up. But at the same time, in the process of associating with them, we don't want to be pulled down. So we need to have the strength to pull them up without being pulled down. And we get the strength by following in the way that we just discussed based on the verse. That we should have very strong spiritual practices and very strong spiritual association. And that the class is really aimed to that audience with that intention. Because that's, you know, Prima Maitri Kripa Peksha, how to make friendship among devotees. As far as kripa, giving mercy to the innocent, which may include our own family members, we have to some extent meet them on their terms. Otherwise, there's too much of a gulf of difference between us and them, and there's no way that we can reach them. So we have to some extent meet them on their terms and at the same time be Krishna conscious. And we will be Krishna conscious if we are strong in our sadhana and in our sadhu sangha. And as far as what you do with them, I guess when you're in Grihastha Ashram, you know that idea of letting them experience the best of the material world. I mean, that would really need to be defined. You know, what is the best of the material world? But, and you know, this is very subjective, and it's sort of going a little beyond philosophy. It's maybe like the application of the philosophy, which can be very relative and specific. But I did have a very interesting discussion on this topic with some parents of children who've come out very good, and with some children who came out very good. I guess we'll limit it to two families. One is Carl and Stella, you know, and their children. And another is a family from South Africa. The parents are Nanda Kumar and Ananda Chandrika. And they have five children. They're very good. So, and You know, I had a very interesting talk with Carl and Stella, and I think Irene was actually there at the same time. That devotees, you know, even devotees, what to speak of children, desire to see things or experience things of the material world. But experiencing it with other devotees is very different from experiencing it with non-devotees. So what they did with their children is they didn't ban, you know, cultural, you know, they didn't ban movies, they didn't ban television, they didn't ban concerts, they didn't ban sports events. But they did them with the children. And they said two things. That when you ban something, it sort of increases the mystique of it. You know? So, it's, you know, it wasn't banned, it wasn't that big of a thing to go to a movie. It just wasn't that big of a thing, you know, go to a musical performance. And, you know, the other thing is that because devotees are different and they see things differently, going to these events with devotees, with your parents who are devotees, for example, you can have a different perspective on it. You know, say you go to a movie, and you know, then you discuss like what happened in the movie. So if your child sees the movie with an ordinary person, they'll have a certain perspective on it. Like, wow, that looks like fun. Robbing a bank, you know, that looks like fun. Well, maybe we can try that. But if they see with devotees, they'll say, "Well, you see what happened to the guy who robbed the bank? Well, that's what happens. You know, you suffer." Now. Someone told me, I won't mention names, someone told me that they came to the Dallas community with their children. They not from Dallas, they don't actually live in any temple community. But they followed that policy like Carl and Stella. And they, you know, ordinarily you would think, well, you know, devotee community, they'd be wary of children from outside. But these parents, who are devotees, told me that the children in the community here were more mad after television and videos and video games and whatnot than their own children, who'd grown up with those things. You know, it's sort of like a part of life, but it's not a really big thing. You know? And so it was the other way, like, what are they going to do about their children when they start to associate with the children in the community? So, and another thing, which I think is probably more important than anything, is the relationship between the parents. I mean, you know, that's the primary relationship in the family. So if the relationship between the parents, between the husband and wife, is strong, that will be a strong basis for the other relationships within the family. And from that, they'll get love and affection. That's really the main thing. They want love and affection. In a way, doing things with them is a way of showing your love and affection for them. So that's a very important factor, just spending time with them. That'll make them feel that you love them. That's the main thing. But again, the relationship between the husband and wife is the primary relationship. So that there should be love there, love and respect, and then that will carry down to the rest of the family members, love and respect. That was a shock I had. It was a shock I had. You know, after living in temples for 30 years, you know, I had health problems and started living in America. And anyway, so I visited Santa Cruz and stayed with Pusta Krishna Prabhu. He was Prabhupada's personal secretary and one of the pioneers of the movement in South Africa. And, you know, there was no temple nearby. He didn't go to the temple. But he had a strong morning program at home. But the thing but I saw on his shelf, you know, different types of books and DVDs, things, you know, we never saw then. But his kids, son and daughter, they're like really good devotees. And I remember his son would have like these really intricate philosophical discussions with his father, you know, like really deep discussions about Mahavishnu and the material creation and the universes. And I was thinking, what's happening? It's like it's not computing, you know, because they were doing better, you know, living at home with their parents. And apparently, they also, you know, they go to concerts, they go to ball games, they do different things. But they were like very Krishna conscious. And the relationships, of course, between husband and wife, there was a lot of affection and appreciation, and within the whole family. I mean, what is this? It seemed like a reversal of what you would expect. And then, you know, seeing Carl and Stella, you know, same type of thing. I had a very, very strong morning program, Pusta Krishna Prabhu and his wife. As far as Nanda Kumar and Ananda Chandrika, she was like very vigilant in supervising the children. And, I mean, I don't want to underestimate it, but she was an excellent cook. I would say that does help. It definitely helps. Because if they get good prasad at home, they'll be satisfied. Everyone, it's good for the husband, good for the children. And so their eldest son, Nandakishore, like he also married a devotee girl, very nice girl. They're married now. And so once, you know, I sort of joked with him, well, after you're married now, after growing up with your mother's cooking, I hope your new wife's a good cook, because if you're used to your mother's cooking. He said, "Well, Maharaj, you know, my parents are building an extension on their house, and I'm going to keep living here." So So, I mean, there's so many things, you know, with them. I think her cooking was, there's so many factors. Her cooking was a major factor. With Carl and Stella, you know, she's a librarian, he's a professor. With them, it was reading. They spent a lot of time reading with their children, and not just Krishna conscious books, but so they felt that spending that time together reading was very helpful to make their children thoughtful and educated. And it also bound them together as a family. So I guess there are many, many variations. And then there was another interesting discussion we had with Nandakishore, Nandakumar's son, and his new wife. Her name is Kandarpa Manjari. When they came to Santa Barbara to spend some time with me and do service, and coincidentally Carl was there for part of the same time. So they had a discussion from the children's point of view that they both ended up being very good devotees. Nandakishore eventually took initiation from me, Kandarpa Manjari, his wife took initiation from Parthasarathi Maharaj. And they both said that their parents were very good examples of Krishna consciousness, but their parents didn't force them. And they both said they really appreciated the fact that their parents didn't force them. And one year, Shesha Prabhu and his wife from Alachua now, and their two daughters visited us. Daughters were beautiful devotees. They were, at that stage, I think, late teens. They were wonderful devotees. So we asked Shesha, how did you do it? You know, what did you do? He said that not only did they never force them, they never even asked them to do anything. They never, it's sort of like, what works, you know, for the. But they would always have their morning program or go to the temple. They've been in devotee communities pretty much all along. But they'd always have their morning program. They'd always chant their rounds. They'd always read Prabhupada's books. They'd always worship their deities. They'd always offer all their food. And they'd always welcome Vaishnavas into their home and serve them. But they never once told the girls, you know, you should chant rounds, you should come to Mangalarti, you should serve the Vaishnavas. But just by seeing them, and of course in that context there's a lot of love and, I mean, respect between the two parents and amongst the family in that context. So naturally, they would come. You know, naturally they would want to chant to whatever extent, and that was their choice. So that was his approach. So, you know, it's each parent will have, you know, will have his own approach, because we're all individual. We're individual. Our children are individual. Our spouses are individual. But I think from these examples, certain general principles have come out. Now, I did ask Shesha Prabhu about those things like going to movies and concerts and sports events. They never did that. And I think the difference between him and his situation and Carl and Stella and theirs and Pustakrishna Prabhu and Daru Brahma in their situation is, as Shesha put it, he was in a devotee community. So you don't do those things in a devotee community. And that, you know, when you do it, it could have a bad effect on the community. There are many things to balance. But I think at this stage, here, I mean,
I mean, it's all going on anyway, so I mean, in somewhere, some in some quarters, to some extent, it's I don't really know what's going on. I probably shouldn't have said that, but just leave it to you. Leave it to you to adjust all these complexities. But there is a little dynamic in a community, because what you do affects not only your immediate family members, but it affects the whole community. And you do have to consider that. But yes, Nila Madhava Mataji.
So she was just sitting in hollering and, you know, while I was living. Then after that, towards the end, after the dessert part, Buddha was very kind and compassionate, so he gave her a little bit of dessert and pet her. Because, and then he said, Buddha's a big fat day, right? And then I said, yes, and welcome to get to go. I said, no, because, you know, I'll go through this right now, I'm cooking for you. And so she didn't go. So then we should begin to look at your husband and take her tomorrow to the state fair. I wanted to go to the state fair because your mistress would be like, how much ever did you take her to the state fair? She doesn't want the children to feel left out. She doesn't want something that's going to be treated that way. But she wanted the children to feel, I guess, she just, you know, to me I was shocked that you told me to do that. You know, and she just didn't want us to let out the children. A lot of time also I saw from what I see on the relation to children is that I think you could see in the first generation, like we were all, you know, many families, you know, families and family paintings and children were kind of thing left with other demons to take care of the frustration and the result of parents interacting with gurus with the children to be able to change in it. And you could see some reaction to the situation. And then the children and the family members really come to me to judge me to express my feelings and certain behavior. It's all so much more than that. Because we're pushing and serving in a situation. And we really have to get beyond that situation. The children can relate with the rules, children can relate with the teachers. So one of the situations where we try to relate with the children to make them part of the family, part of the teaching line, and the Vaishnava is like, I remember what family said to the parents, you should be popcorn, some nice snacks, and tell all the teenage kids to come upstairs, and then you can wash the balls again. Materially speaking, it's very mundane. But then on the other part, it's like Buddha accepted and did that so that the kids could see that the Buddha is not just, you know, everything is just like that. He just wanted to bring them together and make them feel that they could relate with him. They could approach him. So he did something out of his way, something he wouldn't do himself, but he did out of the way just for the sake of the children to feel that Krishna's consciousness is not just like that, and you know, can relate with each other. I was just thinking that, you know, I don't know, Ray was like trying to balance both sides so the children don't feel that, you know, I don't know if you want to relate with them, but they just use my name, but the other way you have to just communicate with the children and let them feel that he cared for them and it's okay to live in the association with the police. I don't know, I'm just completely confident, just relating that how he's sensitive about those situations. And when for us as parents, we want them to be all very Krishna conscious and that doesn't mean, you know, like you say, one trying to do something and the other don't, then they feel left out. I've spoken to some good police, whose parents are very good parents, parents are so strict, told them, you cannot do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, and later on, when they are already like 30 years old, they want to be like, and they practice 16 years. And one time I spoke to a person and said, wow, you know, she came up and spoke to me and I said, why is the action like that? She said, when I was a child, all my other devotee friends, the parents were not so strict, they allowed them to go to some parties and some things and that, and I never got to do that. And so at this age, I want that. Because I never experienced it when I was a teenager. So, I don't know. And this person is kind of pretty good devotee, and parents are Prabhupada's disciples and good parents. So for me, at least for me raising children, I try to keep a balance where they won't stray up, still stay in the association of devotees, but also give them a little mature situation where they don't feel that they're suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep, you know. So at least I know they want to be with the devotees. They don't, I don't want them to say that I don't want to be with the devotees because they're too fanatical, they're too much awe and reverence and too much. Because at least I know they appreciate the devotees, and if they want to come to the temple, they at least can sit on the Sunday feast, sit down, you know, like that. And I've seen parents who are very strict and went too fanatical. Next year, the next year, the children are into drugs, the next year, the children are into. Do I see the parents move out? I've seen some parents who really move to me, and some, you know, like that. Like you say, you have to write down the parents. You know, I tell them what's right, what's wrong, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of all the experience. It's through the other parents. Yeah, you know, as you go to the stage, you're also learning with them what they are and what, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
People comment on that one.
Yeah, it's very individual. It's very, very, very individual. You know that couple in South Africa, Nanda Kumar and Ananda Chandrika, they've been really strict and their children have come out really good. And pretty much most of the other children, they're like a lot more frivolous and you know, like Ananda Chandra told me that at Rath Yatra, you know, they have like a big Rath Yatra in Durban. At Rath Yatra, the young people would approach their children and say, oh, you know, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be doing that, or and especially in relation to like boys and girls mixing. And Ananda Chandrika said no. Of course, she would always invoke my name, you know, like what would Guru Maharaj say, what, you know, and once she even, you know, sometimes she says, should we phone Guru Maharaj and ask him what he would say about it? And once she even phoned me, like it was such, the children were under such heavy pressure. Wanting the, you know, that sort of like the boys and girls mixing. She phoned thinking that I could maybe speak to them, but I think in the end I just spoke with her and she said that's enough, she'll just convey to them what I told her, and they've ended up very good children, I mean, excellent. And they've ended up with very good marriages. And the looser ones, you know, it happens. They have relations before they're married. There was one case, the girl got pregnant, and they had to get married. At least they did that. It was really very individual. And a lot of what your generation is talking about is a reaction to sort of anomalies that came from the earlier years of the movement. I mean, there's always that pendulum effect. You know, like you go too far this way, then you go too far the other way, and then there's another reaction, go too far that way. And it was very interesting hearing some of the discussions about the school here, the different perspectives between the older parents and teachers and the younger ones. And what I found was that it was the older ones who were more in that mood of balance, and it was the younger ones who were more in the mood of more Krishna consciousness. And I was thinking, this is odd, but then I realized why. That the older ones, you know, were of a generation where so many of the children went off. They were not very Krishna conscious, and in many cases they didn't have much relationship even with their parents after they went off. So they're thinking, you know, there should be more of a balance so they don't feel they have to leave Krishna consciousness to get what they missed. And then I was thinking, some of the younger generation, born of devotee parents, who came out very good, they're thinking, they're happy with the way they were brought up. You know, like Ratnaranjani or Gopi Gita. They came out devotees. They have good relationships with their parents. And they're thinking, you know, we were raised in a strict Krishna conscious environment, and, you know, a good Krishna conscious education and association. So, you know, so it's sort of like it's the same thing. It's very delicate. It's the same thing. Like, you want the best, and they feel they got the best. But then again, maybe it's not for every child. Maybe it's not for every family. Maybe it's not for every community. There are just so many variables. But I felt I should mention that to balance what you said. Yes.
Really make your logic on the outside. And I'm really concerned.
Thank you very much, Ilamadava Mataji, just to extract the essence of it. When the children or the youth are in the association of other devotee children and youth, that's the best for them, you know, in general. And, you know, even if they do things that are not strictly Krishna conscious, but in that association, it can be congenial because they're satisfying their curiosity, but at the same time, they're doing it in the association of devotees who can process it or, you know, view it as devotees do. And Yeah, like I said, both Nandakishore and Kandarpa Mantri, that young couple, they both said the same thing, that they thanked their parents for not forcing them. Well, yes, you made a very good point about culture. Because I was also thinking about Chopati. I mean, they would never really sort of do some of the things that we do here. But then again, they have their culture there. And their culture is supportive, you know, more supportive to Krishna consciousness. Or like what you were saying when you visited your place, you know, it's not so much of an issue there because the whole culture is like that. But here, the Western culture is so bad that once they step out of the association of devotees, they're exposed to things that are really bad in general. And so to keep them in the association of devotees, even if it's to do other things, is very important. Because once they step out of the association of devotees, then the situation becomes very perilous. And I do agree with that. And the youth here are very supportive of each other, very caring for each other, you know, very Krishna conscious, and you know, exemplary in many respects. I mean, I remember during the engagement ceremony of your daughter Radhakund and Sri Rupa, like it was just a real testimony to the love and Krishna consciousness of their parents, of Srila Gurudev, of the community in general. So it's really true, you know, that the youth here have a very good, very strong sense of
community. That is, you know, loving and caring and supportive and Krishna conscious. So there are like so many waves, like every 10 years there's like a new wave of kids, new wave of challenges, and we have to keep adjusting. But certainly if we're sincere and intelligent and Krishna conscious and practical, we'll be able to stay together with our family members, children, and community members. And it's like that. These children have many mothers. You know, the other lady devotees, they have many fathers. The other men devotees. And that's natural. That's the way it is. I mean, on Mother's Day, I phoned the mother of my best friend. He was like my best friend from third grade to eighth grade. Sixth grade, definitely third grade to sixth grade. And, she was like a mother to me, because she was the mother of my best friend. So very often she would drive me from school to her house, or drive me from her house to my house. And, she'd feed us snacks, and she was like a mother. And I phoned her. She's, forget how old, but somewhere in the 88 to 92 range. And she said, yeah, anyway, she appreciated it. And she said, just the day before, she remembered me, and she couldn't think of why, and she was going to ask her son. So it's a tremendous advantage, to grow up in a community where the children have so many fathers, so many mothers, so many like friends, spiritual sisters and brothers, and guru and deities. But I don't know exactly what you've done, but overall, you've done well. And I would say, if anyone has any questions, they could ask you and your husband, or Shirupa's parents, Shalagram and Kunti. And I think that was also a good point you made, how you took a particular position and then your husband took a position. And that again brings me back to the point about how important the relationship between the husband and wife are. Because, in general, children need both parents. And definitely the parents are going to be individual. Some are going to be more liberal in some ways and conservative in other ways, and so that balance is good. That balance is good. Sometimes they need the lightness, sometimes they need the heaviness, sometimes they need the hardness, sometimes they need the softness. And Krishna, ultimately Krishna. I mean, none of us are the doers. It's ultimately Krishna. We just try our best to follow his instructions, follow the process, and make the adjustments
that we need to make in our circumstances, and ultimately it's Krishna who will make everything work. So thank you for sharing those thoughts and experiences with us. One note, since you mentioned His Holiness Indradumya Swami, once I asked him about his, you know, affection and care for children, and he told me about a story from his own childhood. His father was into advertising, and his father's company had the account of the San Francisco 49er football team. So when Indradumya Swami was, I don't know, 8 years old, 10 years old, you know, his father asked him what he would like for his birthday, and Indradumya Swami said he'd like to meet the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, whose name I forget right now. So, okay, so his father took him to the game, and it was just before the game was supposed to begin, and the quarterback is like a huge, you know, hulk of a man, came over to the sidelines, and, you know, Indradumya Swami is just like a little fellow, and the quarterback kneeled down, you know, so that he was more like face to face with him, and he gave him some instructions, and one of the instructions he gave him is that, you know, as you grow older, your friends and classmates will put pressure on you to do the things that they're doing, but don't feel that you have to do what they're doing. You just do what you know is right. And, you know, he took that time to speak to Maharaj, and it was time for the game to begin. And the referee came from the field to the quarterback, and he said, "Sir, it's time for the game to begin. You know, everyone's waiting for you." And the quarterback replied, "Excuse me, but I have very important business right now." So, Indradumya Swami told me that had such an effect on him, the fact that that big man, you know, took his valuable time and spoke to him and even told the referee when it was time for the game to begin, you know, I have important business, that really affected him and made him attached to that figure. And then he said in high school, like so many of his friends were saying, oh, you should smoke, you know, you should do this, you should do that, everyone's doing it. And he would think back on those words that, you know, that as you grow older, your friends and classmates will put pressure on you to do certain things, but you don't have to do what they tell you. You should just do what you know is right. And he said those words gave him the strength not to smoke and do so many other things. And he said because he had that experience as a child, how just a few minutes from that person could have such a profound effect on him for the rest of his life. So he always thinks that he also, you know, he should also take the time and spend those few minutes with someone, because you never know what effect those few minutes could have on a young person's life. So that's what we try to do. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.